to try my best to make this not one of my more guilt-laden sermons. We want to say that we live in a time much different than any other time in the history of the world. We want to say that technology is so prevalent that it affects every single inch of our lives to a greater extent than anything else. But I don't think so. That is not what determines technology and elections and anything else you could fill in is not truly what affects us. What affects us is wisdom. And where we go to find that wisdom. The world today tells us many different things. We live in a country to where we determine the political outcomes. We live in a time that tells us that what is right is wrong, and what is wrong is right. And I'm afraid to say, for the most part, the modern westernized church has bought into that concept. You see, it's okay for us to sin, especially if it doesn't affect anyone else. It's okay for us to wallow in self-pity because we are the only ones who are affected. We can justify ourselves out of just about anything because the world does not necessarily say it's wrong. This is not new. This has been going on since the beginning of time. This has been going on. This was going on back in the city of Corinth some 2,000 years ago when Paul wrote this letter. We've discussed the church at Corinth, how they had their problems, much like the church today has their problems, much like this church has its problems. And Paul is trying to write this letter to them, a letter of admonishment, a letter of encouragement, and a letter of correction. So they might know in a greater way how to present themselves unto God. Open, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We will read this morning verses 18 to 25. The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleasing through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles, foolishness. But to those who are called, who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful this morning for your foolishness. That foolishness that saves, that debunks the wisdom of the world, which leads all men to an eternal death. Father, enlighten our eyes this morning. Help us to see these beautiful things that you tell us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. In all reality, the message of Christianity should always, and I'll even make the statement, does always fall on deaf ears. Because in a worldly sense, it is foolish. And how would God save mankind by such an uncouth method? That God's only Son would live a perfect life, and at the end of that life, be accused of all falsehoods and be put to death. But that's not really even the foolish aspect of it. He was then buried. And he was raised again the third day. To where we serve a living God today. Not someone who died and is buried somewhere on this planet, but someone who lives and reigns at the right hand of God the Father. Do you not see how that would be foolishness to the world? That we're staking our eternity on that message. And the acceptance of that message, and then the propagation of that message. Paul understood this. Right here in verse 18, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." It's foolishness. To the world, now, I've described salvation as somebody in the middle of the ocean who is drowning. And I'm on a boat, and I have the gospel, and that gospel is one of those big, round, floaty things. And I'm throwing them the gospel. And all they have to do is cling to that to be saved. Do you know what the world actually sees that floaty thing as? They see it as an anvil coming towards them. It makes no sense to them to grab onto it, because in their eyes, it's preposterous. Why would I cling to an anvil? The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Sometimes I believe we in the westernized church take salvation very lightly. Many of us, and I say us universally, not us here, but many of us see Christianity more as a club to join. It's a place to come and socialize with people. It's the place to maybe even aspire to leadership so we can be important to others. It's a place where we can have committees and do good works.
Come on, let's hear it.
But to the world, that's foolishness. To those who are being saved, it's the power of God. You see, when we give the message of the cross, which we each and every one of us who claim Jesus Christ is called to do, to the unsaved world, we're spewing foolishness. And the only way that people respond to that message is when the Holy Spirit enlightens their eyes, opens their heart, and brings them to spiritual life. At that point, we see the power of God in the message. So we see this foolishness 2,000 years ago. We also see that foolishness hundreds of years before that, as Paul will paraphrase Isaiah 29:14. He says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Back in Isaiah's day, Isaiah wrote, "Therefore, behold, I will once again deal marvelously with this people, wondrously marvelous, and the wisdom of their wise men will perish, and the discernment of their discerning men will be concealed." Ever since man's mouth has opened and spoke, the words that have come out of it, man has thought has been wonderful. Cain, as he gave his wrong sacrifice to God, had wisdom in his head that told him why that was proper. He thought he was doing everything that was right. And when God accepted his brother's sacrifice that was in accordance to what God wanted, Cain killed his brother. The world's wisdom always leads to death. Always. Paul says, "Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age?" I mean, Paul's audience here is vast. He's in Corinth. He's dealing with Gentiles. Gentiles looked at worldly philosophies and worldly wisdom for everything. As they would try to reason things out as to how things should go. I mean, do you think relativism is just a new thing? That we're the only ones in the history of mankind that has dealt with the gospel in a relativistic manner? No. He says, "Where's the scribe?" He's talking to the religious people of the day. The scribes, the Pharisees. Those who should have known all. But presented worldly wisdom in a religious package. Where's the debater of this age? That person who is not, who is informed and has been taught and brings forth what he believes is truth. But again, it's just a message of death. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? It's hard for us because we live in a day and age that the world has much influence on us. It's hard at some points to escape that influence of the world. Even last night, as we had some people over at the house. And we sat down to play a game that was, for all intents and purposes, shouldn't have been contentious in any way. But as the world is today, and as things are, sometimes you have to place things in family-friendly mode. And while from a worldly standpoint, we might look at that and we might say, that's just the way the world is today. We're not going to escape it, so we just have to learn to live with it. I lost track. And let it go on much further than it should have. Yes, we fixed it. Yes, we put it into family-friendly mode. And yes, we enjoyed the rest of our night. But as a child of God, I should have acted much more quickly than I did in ending that. And I'm sure that most of those that were there last night would say, oh, really, don't worry about it. We understand. As a child of the living God, I have a responsibility. As a leader of the flock of God, I have even a greater responsibility. To not succumb to worldly wisdom. Amen. But to live as a child of the King. So for any of those who were present last night, I'd like to publicly apologize for letting that go on. Because I don't ever want it to get out later. That it's okay for someone to do something because I was guilty of it. Paul in 1 Corinthians 9 said this, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though as not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I become weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it." We're going to end today with what the wisdom of God is. The wisdom of God is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Does that mean we have to be cosmic killjoys in everything that we do? Absolutely not. But we need to watch what our reputation is. I feel like I hurt mine last night. Partaking in a worldly attitude in worldly wisdom. Paul says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. I mean, Paul starts the book of Romans out by saying that God is visible in all things. No one in this room, no one in this world is exempt from the knowledge of God because He has made Himself present in His creation. Everyone is without excuse. But for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. I mean, God shows His wisdom, but man does not see that wisdom because of his blind eyes, and instead makes up his own wisdom. So he does not see or does not come to know God. But God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save sinners. That is the message of the cross. That is what the world looks at as foolishness. In whatever way they want to describe that foolishness, they'll say it's too easy. In reality, without the power of God, it is the hardest thing. Impossible thing. God was well pleased with the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. I believe today because of a message that the world looks at as foolish. You, if you're a true child of the King today, you are in that state because you believe a message that the world looks at as foolish. I mean, look at all the other religions of this world. The way we look at those in the terms of how foolish they are is the way that the world looks at us. We preach the cross. That's what we do. We give people the message of the cross so they have something to grab onto, to hold onto, to cling to. As that message is preached, God then opens eyes to accept. That is the power of God in salvation. Paul says, for indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom. Jews should have known all along what the message of the cross was. But the Jews saw it as the same foolishness because they wanted a sign to go along with it. It wasn't good enough that Jesus Christ just came and died, was buried, and rose again. I mean, they wanted God to pick them up and put them in front and say, this. They wanted a sign. The Greeks, on the other hand, Paul said they searched for wisdom. They wanted to be able to reason it out. Reason out that which cannot be reasoned with in a human standard. I've lived and walked this earth for 53 years. And not one moment of those 53 years have I seen an individual who was dead rise again. And I don't think anybody else on this planet living today has either. So to say that the reason that we have a relationship with God is because we believe that this man, Jesus Christ, was raised from the dead? Oh, the world sees that as foolish. The Jews ask for signs. The Greeks search for wisdom. What do? Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. We don't preach Jesus as the answer to our problems. We don't preach Jesus Christ as the answer to how we're going to make our next house payment or eat our next meal. We preach Him crucified. We preach what He did and who He was and what He accomplished. To the Jews, a stumbling block. The Jews could not reconcile this. They were looking for a Messiah. 400 years had passed since they had last heard from God. John the Baptist comes on the scene preaching repentance. The kingdom of God is at hand. But Christ did not come as a valiant warrior. He came as a servant. He didn't come as an invincible. He came as somebody who was willing to die. It's a stumbling block for the Jews. That wasn't what they were looking for. And to the Gentiles, just plain foolishness. How can you believe in the message of the cross? That's what the world is asking you today. How in the world can you place your entire eternity on that? My answer is, how can you not? How can you not? To the Jews, a stumbling block. To the Gentiles, foolishness. But to those who are the called, to those who God has opened our eyes up to who Jesus Christ is, He's the power of God and the wisdom of God. Remember back at verse 18. The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. What is that power of God? That power of God is Jesus Christ. He is the power of God. He is the wisdom of God. John 1:1 tells us He is God. Paul closes out this brief section by saying, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. We look at the world today. We look at the people within the world. Was his name Stephen something? The guy guy in the wheelchair. What was it? Hawkins, Stephen Hawkins. I think the majority of people of our time would say he was one of the smartest men that lived. In a human standpoint, his brain was remarkable. But he died without the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as wise as he was, that message to him was foolish. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. I think Paul started a cliche with that last line. He was saying that God had more strength in his little finger than all of mankind that has ever lived pulled together jointly. Why do we cling to the things of this world? Why do I cling to the things of this world? Any fear that we have is just that. It's just fear. Because God is in control every minute of every day, of every week, of every year, of every century, for all eternity. Always has been, always will be. So why do we fear tomorrow when he's proven himself over and over again that he will care for us? Don't look at the worldly way of looking at things. So what? You have $3 to your name. So what? You got a growth on your spine that you don't know what it is. So what? You can barely move because of the pain that you're feeling. God is still in control through all of that. And he will be today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Father, I thank you for your great love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Father, will you help us to live for you, to not live in a worldly wisdom type of a way, but to live in such a way that we bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, forgive us for where we fail you. Because, Lord, we don't bring just dishonor upon ourselves, but we bring dishonor upon you. Sometimes we don't bring dishonor upon ourselves, but in that same way, we still bring dishonor to you. Show us, Lord, how to be obedient children of the King. I thank you for your loving kindness towards us, for your grace that is greater than all our sin. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.